If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Loud Spot. I'm your host, Sebastian, hanging out with my producer, and tonight my co-host, Sam, is here, and then we got Zana, who is in a band called Zana. Here we go.
Oh, no! Oh, boy! Ah, here it comes! The motherfucking Loud Spot!
Before we get this show started, I do want to remind everyone to please check us out on all podcasting platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know, Zana, I didn't even ask you, is that your name also? Because that could just be your band name. I don't know. I didn't even ask that.
So Zana is a form of my name in Spanish. So I'm Mexican. I was born there. And so my full name is Susana, but it's S-U-S-A-N-A. And in English, it's just the last part, but in English. So Susana is Zana. In an English pronunciation.
Yeah, that's so you know, I think that most people with the name, if it was like just regular old American Susanna, I feel like they would either go by Susie or Anna, right? But Zana actually sounds way cooler, I think.
I mean, I looked into it because my maiden name is Martinez and my Susana Martinez is super common name. It's not going to work to be an artist, dude. So I had to get really creative because, you know, I was doing market research basically before I went solo. And I was okay, I got to stand out. And it was just too many Susie Martinez's because that's what my family calls me. They call me Susie. But one name that I do not tolerate and will correct you is do not call me Susan. Bird name, we're not.
Everyone named Susan by making that laugh.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, so, or hey, at least you know, you could be Puerto Rican like old Sebastian over here and just be called Sebastian. And what happened with your dad? I've been wanting to ask Manny about that. He gets Manuel and you get Sebastian.
My grandparents did call me Sebastian.
They did was put the accent on the end. Come on,
And people, you know, and I always thought for a nickname for Sebastian, there, you know, there's one guy I met named Sebastian, but he went by Ian. But I never thought. I don't think I look like an Ian.
Well, I think your dad should have called you Esteban. Esteban.
Esteban. Really, really Mexican name, Frederico.
Felipe. actually, he does have an alter ego that comes out when he's been drinking. Call him?
Carlos Perez.
Carlos Perez. This guy comes out, he's horrible. He's mean, he's rude, he's cocky, he's arrogant. But
So, all right. So Zana, you have a song called Die for Something, right?
Yes. It just came out.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to play it. We're going to play that music video later on here in a few minutes into the show. But that song has some deep meaning. I was watching it. And when I was watching it, I told Sam, I was like, I didn't know she was a pop artist. And Sam's like, it's rock. She does rock music. And I'm like, it's pop. He's like, it's rock. My mistake was I didn't listen to the whole entire song. And then I did hear the song and I was like, Sam, yeah, you're right. It's rock music. It does have some pop influence to it, I think.
Now, yeah. in his In his defense, I did come on middle of the stream when he was watching it, and I was kind of, you know, shirtless, so he got a little eyeful. So yeah. He was like, look at my boy right there, looking all cut.
Stop seducing him.
Yeah. I have to every once in a while. That's what happened.
It's a power play. Now, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, Die for Something. So it's actually there's an interlude that isn't part of the actual song. So that one, the interlude is called Reaper, and I decided to include it in the music video, even though it's not actually like part of the song Die for Something. But it was written to be an introduction for that song, and I needed more time in the video. So I went ahead because I needed to tell more story. Mm-hmm. And so I went ahead and put it all together. But technically, it's like two songs, a really short one, and then Die for Something right before it. So Reaper definitely is mostly pop.
Okay. Haha, Sam.
Okay. So here's the thing. Sebastian tends to mislabel genres of sort really bad. And now, look, in his defense, there are way too many subgenres to things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could get that. And a song may start off very, you know, alt pop or even poppy, and then turn very alt rock or even heavy rock or something like that. We see that all the matter of fact, one of Sebastian's favorite art Hardy, right? He's country rock and you don't know where to put him, or Jelly Roll, I guess now these days. Yeah. So in his defense, he was half right.
I mean, we all know Slipknot's pop punk, right? We all know
that. They're not. They are bubblegum pop.
Them and
Katy Perry are going out next year. You don't even know that.
Oh, they're like making new genres too. Like, people are just claiming that they're starting a new genre, and I'm like, good luck with that. Like, we have so many.
Yeah. we have too many. Let's just go back to the basics of rock, metal, pop, you know, those kind of things like that. So I think Sebastian froze up, but I'm not quite sure what happened to him. He was very offended.
Okay. I don't know what happened there. That's the first time that's ever happened in the middle of a show. My power just completely went out, and I figured I just disappeared from the screen, but I guess I was just frozen, huh?
You were frozen. Yes, frozen. And not the Disney kind.
It was like you were just offended of something we said and you just stopped talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were we even talking about? I don't remember. Last thing I remember was Carlos Perez. Some Mexican jokes, I think.
She was talking about her song and how
that's right. The meaning of Die for Something, right? Is that what we're talking about? Okay, let's go back to that then.
Yeah.
You remember we were talking about genres, and we said that, you know, you got confused because there was too many genres, and my first part of the song was like pop, and you were like, oh, she's just a pop artist, but then you found out I was a rock artist. So yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's right. That's okay. Yeah, I'm happy you have such a better memory than I do. My memory sucks, man. Okay,
it does.
So there is some pop influences though in that song. Do you also like pop music?
I like everything. My husband says I have really strong opinions about everything. So probably true. I mean, honestly, I just like what I like. I don't even know. It's not even like specific to a genre. Like, if I'm being honest, I don't really listen to that much rock anymore. But I love to write it and sing it. But it was kind of my producer's call. I went and tracked this. I have a new album coming out called Stronger Than Death. Die for Something is on this album, right? But it was produced by Kellen McGregor of Memphis Mayfire and Josiah Prince. So yeah, it was like that direction was kind of like where Kellen wanted us to go. So we kind of had to rework some elements. The song itself, Die for Something, was written by Josiah, the co-producer of the album. Kellen just kind of put it more in the direction of some of the other songs in the album that we decided to play around and experiment with. The whole album ended up turning like really cool with like some really interesting pop influences, like my one song called I'm Sorry. has like a lot of pop in the verse, and then it goes to this sick breakdown in the bridge. And yeah, it's just this weird fusion. But Die for Something even has like dance and EDM influence too, which I love EDM and dance. Just this awesome fusion that creates this massive chorus and opportunity to just hit the listener. So yeah, I don't know if we meant to do it, but it happened.
I think now, go ahead, Sam.
On this one, you also have your husband joining you, Patrick, on this. Now, does he join you on other songs as well? Or, well, let's face it, he's always probably there in some way, shape, or form, if not in the studio. You're like, honey, I need you to lay this guitar track down real quick.
Yeah. Well, he's a drummer, actually, and he's one of the best drummers I've ever seen in my life. But so it's like, thank God, you know, that drummers are so rare. You just got to marry one and lock him down for life. You know what I'm saying?
Don't start, Sebastian. All right, so Sebastian says he's a drummer. He's not really a drummer. He's a drummer from the day. He was like maybe
'90s and then 2000s drummer. I just haven't played like steadily in. Like
ever
10 like yeah. like 15 years
ever
yeah but I'm like dude I'm like I'm sure I could find a guitarist easily and the bassist not as easily but the drummer is a good one man you just gotta marry one you just gotta find one.
I totally disagree. I think drummers are a dime a dozen and guitarists are harder. Good guitarists are harder.
I agree with Zana. I think you know what? I agree with you. Not you, Sam. I don't agree with you. I agree with
that's
Zana.
okay. She's married to one and you think you are one, so hey.
Well, let's just be honest. It's actually hard to find a really, really, really good bassist. All right. We're all wrong in this room. What if it's the bassist that's the hardest, you know?
Really? Anyway.
I think the kazoo players are the hardest to find.
The triangle player is the hardest one.
What about singers? Do you guys think good singers are a dime a dozen too? I won't be offended.
I think good songwriters are probably a dime a dozen. A lot of people can sing because, especially with rock music, you don't have to have like the best voice to be a good singer. As long as you can harmonize a little bit or even alter your voice to be able to scream or whatever. But to be able to be a good lyricist, that takes talent. That is super hard.
I agree 100% with that because we see it time and time again in the music industry where you have these great singers and they're singing stuff that just is not connecting, just is not good. And what you don't realize is that's because the song is not good. They are good, but the song is not good. And so it's just, it's coming. So imagine if, let's talk about Slipknot. Imagine if Corey sang some pop song, right? Or it just would not work. Now he has kind of sung some popish songs with Stone Sour, but that's the kind of the vibe thing. It's got the song has got to fit the artist and their singing potential and vice versa. It's got to go over. I agree with you, Sebastian.
Is it hard for you to do you write most of your own lyrics?
I write all my lyrics. All of them. The only one I'd say that I didn't do anything on was Reaper because we were working on Die for Something. So Josiah, the producer or the writer of that song, Kellen ended up mixing it and, you know, but he started with that chorus and he's like a very amazing writer, like he has deals and stuff.
Right.
He had this chorus that he was going to give to his own band, and then like he just knew me from like touring, and we were in the same kind of like community and niche. And he was just like, he knew that I went through a kidney transplant and I almost died. So that's kind of what this whole record is about. This whole song is about a kidney transplant that I had, and like the recovery and all the aftermath, and like right before the pandemic happens, was like extra, just double like crazy. So he had that chorus, and I filled in everything else besides the chorus lyrically because I didn't want to change anything. I really liked the chorus. Reaper, he said that before we came over to track, he said he was in the shower and he just got this idea for this interlude going in to Die for Something. So that is the only one I think I've released that I didn't touch. But that's just like a minute song. It's only supposed to be an introduction to the big song.
Right.
So everything else I've written, writing is literally the easiest part for me. Literally the easiest. Like it's a service I provide. I'm a voice teacher, vocal coach, as well as I do some artist consultation. And then there are bands who hire me to co-write and vocal coach in the studio or just whatever they need, they find me. So writing is my favorite part of being in music. It's like so fast, and I just wish it was all I had to do, because the reality of being in music is marketing, 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 yep. marketing, make money, make money, make money. And it's just like, it kind of just kills you after a while, but you love writing so much that you put up with it so you can keep writing and keep the bills being paid. So.
Can you need to teach me how to sing like right now, please?
No, don't. Okay.
No, I'm a horrible singer.
Not only do you have to teach him how to sing, but you have to teach him how to write. You have to teach you, because otherwise you're going to get as macho, nacho, macho.
Muchachos, nachos. I would have sung up Muchachos, Nachos. I did. But I want to play the song, but before we play the song, yeah. I do want to say there's a quote that you had said. I think you had said it. It was given to me as if you had said it. It says, when you know you're at the end and at least want your death to mean something, it makes you begin to live larger and dream bigger. For me, using my pain to find purpose inspired a new attitude towards my current life, even if it was in shambles.
Absolutely.
That is deep, man.
No, that came from Cody, her publicist. That's what it is.
No, actually, I actually spent, I want to say, like a month perfecting my album biography, because I do everything very intentionally. Like even the order of the songs are on purpose. Like,
right.
And there was just so much to unpack for each song and what it meant. And so I submitted to Cody like a 4-page document of each meaning. And I was like, bro, I have to condense this. So I got my sister on it. She was able to like condense into like 2 pages. But yeah, I was actually let go from a band because the manager said, you just have too many stories to tell. He told me that.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted me to dumb down all the songs. Well, that wasn't the only reason, but he wanted me to dumb down the songs. He wanted cookie cutter rock songs, like, you know, and I was like, I can't do that. So
is it hard as a musician to take like someone critiquing what you've created, because you have your story to tell and what you want to say? And if somebody else from the outside looking in, who is maybe that's their job in the industry, is it disagreeing with them, I'm sure, is easy, but is it hard to accept what they say?
You know what? I'm not even going to – that guy was an absolute idiot. I hope. All right, fair. That is the only person who has ever told me anything like that, and he has not even accomplished anything in his major career. So I hope you're listening, bro. That is the only time I was ever told that, which was obviously leading to a lot of issues in the band internally, other things that unfortunately just – it wasn't meant to be. Really scarring, though. I feel like every musician has like a horror story and they like trauma forever from it. But it's okay. Every single other person I have worked with has never, ever shot the idea down. All they do is modify it, you know, because it is too lengthy. Like,
there is a difference between modifying and changing something big time.
This whole team that worked on this album, like, are telling me, like, this is one of the favorite projects they've ever done. Now, I don't know if they tell all their customers that. But maybe
Much did you pay them? How much did you pay them?
Not actually. They cut me deals, like all of them did. So that was really, well, they know how hard I work and they know how much work I pull and what I do. So they tell me they love working with me. I don't know.
Well, you seem like a pretty happy person. I mean, just, you seem like you'd be pretty easy to work with. You know, of course, we're just on camera, but you seem pretty, you know, not hard to do.
I don't know. Where's Patrick? Patrick, tell the truth.
He'll tell you something else.
I will tell you. I think we've gotten away. We live in such a TikTok world that everything is dumbed down to the 2 to 3 minutes, right? And we've forgotten that in order to become a fan, you have to be attached to the music. You have to understand the backstory. You have to basically, the fan has to fall in love with the artist in all of it. And that includes their personalities, goods and bads. And they also have to have a storyline or something that fits them in their life. Now, you talked about how this whole album was not only about your kidney disease and the transplant and getting back on your feet, but you also talked about a little bit about the religious struggles as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, marriage, physical, like life or death, like pandemic, no money, catalytic converter theft, like anything that could happen.
Wait, catalytic converter with that. What song is that one in?
No. My catalytic converter in my tour van was stolen in January of 2021. And it was like a huge financial hit. And it was just all this stuff was accumulating. And so the album is about like all this struggle happening at one time. But religious struggle, you know, faith struggles, like, who am I? Am I going to die? Like, if I didn't live in this country and in this century, I would have died at 25. Absolutely would have died.
Wow.
You know, I just remember the days from the, coming up to the transplant, because it's like insurance won't clear it unless you're at a certain, you're about to die, which is really stupid. Right. Because for me, it was inevitable. It was going to happen, no matter what. And so they just made me suffer for a while. I was waiting for 6 months because I had my donor lined up, which was my mom. God bless her. She donated her kidney to me. Everything was ready to go, but I had to be technically sick enough for them to just go ahead and proceed and for insurance to cover it.
That is so – I want to elaborate on that. I want to play the song right now, and then I want to elaborate on that because I think there's a bunch of pardon my language, of some bullshit. how the way that the medical field works sometimes. Yeah. Let's play the song. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
For our audio listeners?
For audio and video.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We're gonna insert that sort of video. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I want something to shine for, something to fight for, something to like for, something to cry for. I want something to run for, something to fly for, something to live for, something to die for. I can feel you catching up to me. You wanna deny my destiny? You won't steal another second of my power, my passion, my love. I'm sorry, but this just isn't meant to be. Survive. Although I'm sick, although I'm broken, it's your power in me that defines this moment. The fires you won't spare me, it's my destiny to walk on air. I'm terrified, but close my eyes, trust your hand and lead me there. I thought you were cool, I reached out to you, so angry that this happened, my heart was so confused, but your will was that I rise to understand my purpose is deeper than this life. As this the end, I can feel it coming. As this is the end, I wanna die.
All right, there we go. What a great song. You know, I got the chills a little bit. Sam, your mic's muted, by the way, still.
No one wants to listen to me anyways. I'll just go back.
That was such a powerful song. You know, I listened to it this time I was able to kind of watch the whole thing. And what a powerful song and what a great message that you're sending out. Like, there's so much meaning behind that. And I can only imagine how scared you were during that time of your life.
Oh my God. It's, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but like, it was my own personal hell, because like, since a child, like, I've never been scared of like the dark or anything like that. My only fear since being a little kid was like needles and hospitals and like doctors and blood pressure machines and all the wires and everything. Like I think it's called trypanophobia, is the fear of needles, but it's not tattoo needles. It's like ones that go in your veins. Like the veins is what.
Or downtown Houston.
So my whole life, like every time I went to a doctor's office to get a shot, like my mom would have to spot me because she knew I was going to faint, you know, because out of fear, just absolute fear. So it's just crazy how I kind of learned of my disease, because I didn't go to the doctor for 10 years because I was like, no, I just can't. It controlled my life. And then it just like took like two people that I knew dying very suddenly that kind of forced me to go. Thankfully, my sister's a doctor, so I went to her clinic and she made me feel a lot better. My blood work came out weird. I had to go back and do it again. Still same results. It took them like 6 months to figure it out. Wow. But they were like, they knew it was something with my kidneys because that was the blood level that was really out of whack. Mm-hmm. And it took them 6 months and like they had to send me to like a geneticist that like specializes in kidney disease, and he has a grant from the government to like research it. Like, it's that rare. And so
Wow. It
just really hit me. And here I was on tour, like drinking McFlurries and McCafe, like the freaking stuff every day with sugar and like killing my kidneys faster because I didn't know. And that was at the point where like my band had also let me go. And it was this weird, just terrible time of my life. Thankfully, I had met my now husband at that time. And so he made things a lot better for me. I think like he's the reason I hung on a lot. But it was like when I found all this stuff out and all this was happening in my life, it was like, yeah, the perfect hell, the absolute perfect hell for me to embark on. So I had a lot of like turmoil. At one point, they were like considering me to not even be eligible for the transplant because like I fainted in the screening in front of them, and they were like, you may not be able to do this. So I was like, no, I want to do that because the alternative is like worse. The alternative of not getting a transplant is like you're just on dialysis for the rest of your life, which just means like you get your blood cleaned by a machine 3 to 5 times a week for like hours, like 3 hours a day. So like, you can't travel. You definitely can't tour. Like, you're basically kind of like a walking zombie. Like, you're very limited functionality because like you should be dead. So I was like, well, I can't do dialysis because just ew. And then my transplant is my only option, or die. So it was like literally conquer your fear or die. And I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. I like how you go, ew.
Ew. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah. You know, it's like it's to go through something like that. How long ago did this happen?
So I was diagnosed with my illness in summer of 2017, and then I declined way more rapidly than they thought I would. So the transplant was supposed to be like 5 to 6 years out, ended up being 2 years. So I got the transplant like June 12th of 2019. Yeah, 2019.
And hypothetically, if you were going downhill much faster, would they have done the transplant quicker? Because we talked about earlier before we played song, you know, like you literally have to be dying.
Yeah. So the way it works is that kidneys are a really resilient organ. So like they can be damaged and still be fine. And like, you won't even feel a difference. So if kidneys are perfectly healthy, kidneys are at 100% function, right?
Right.
You're not going to feel sick until you're about 20% and under. And there are people that are living with damaged kidneys and they don't even know it because they're really resilient, you know? God, I'm sorry, this hair is bothering me, y'all. Okay, sorry. And so that's why, like, I did have some issues, but they didn't control my life as much as when I was super declining. Mm-hmm. And I'm honestly so grateful I declined quicker, because had I waited, pandemic. I could have had it during the pandemic, and then I would have had to go to dialysis because they did pause a lot of transplants.
Wow.
So like, I am so grateful because, it was like perfect. Like, I really thank God, because it got rescheduled at one point. Long story, I don't even think I was ready for it. So I'm really glad it ended up getting rescheduled to like a month later, because I remember that week I was like, I'm getting the transplant. I don't think I can do this. And like about to chicken out, but like, you can't chicken out on something like that, bro. There's like teams of doctors that are scheduled for that morning and that day. Like, they can't just do that.
Well, that must have been super scary to have to go through, especially do the surgery, like, because because you know, you signed this whole thing, like, you may not come back alive, like, or not, you won't even come back if you die. Are you a big believer in everything happens for a reason?
I am.
Also, yeah. Okay, did it make you more religious or have a deeper meaning or purpose in life? Because you got to really see yourself.
Absolutely. After this,
it's completely different perception on life and what you want to do, because you've just lived this horrific experience that just completely changes your outlook on everything, I would think.
I think for my transplant, it was the biggest wake up call. Like, I'm a Christian. I'm just gonna say I am a very devout Christian. I don't know what you define as religious. I really don't go to church anyway, but I am a firm believer in God and Jesus. But to me, it was like, this actually pushed me to start aggressively pursuing music, because before I was like, I was in a band that kind of just did everything, you know, they wouldn't really give me responsibility, but I learned a lot when that didn't happen, when they, you know, let me go the way they did in the kind of weird backstabby way, that really made me angry. And like, that's what made me start Zana. And I was like, immediately going to file my business paperwork for it and everything. And so I was cruising and I was doing it safe for like all of 2017 and 2018 somewhat. 2019 was the transplant, and after that, just going through all the things that I went through, like, I had really, really bad recovery. So like, I had the transplant. As soon as I woke up, I was like, I woke up violently on the hospital bed, and they were like, "Oh my God, sedate her."
Do you remember that?
What's that?
Do you remember waking up violently?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I do. I felt like 1,000 knives were stabbing my stomach, and I just like pain. And I was trying to speak, but I couldn't speak because I was in so much pain. So I was trying to say the word pain, pain, pain. And they're all freaking out. And I look pale as a ghost. Like, my husband started crying. He had to leave the room. He couldn't see it. And because it was like my psychosis, like, you're literally inside your fear. And I tell my husband all the time, it's like you waking up in a pit of spiders, because he's afraid of spiders. I'm like, that is literally my nightmare. Like, I woke up in my worst nightmare. It disoriented. And I've got like a huge IV in my neck, and I have connections all over me, and my abdomen is like screaming. And it was very traumatic.
Yeah. And tell your husband, you know, I don't like spiders either. I hate that if I see one, I shake and I'm like, no, I don't want to see. I feel like it's on me, you know?
He screams like a girl. He screams like a girl.
Okay. Hey, it's 2023, man. You can't say that anymore.
I can.
Passion, and I know he screams like a girl.
Exactly. Well, we're glad that you were able to take that traumatic experience, and that's what songwriters do, right? That's what's good ones anyways, yeah. Either that or breakup songs. And let's talk about what's coming up. You got the album coming out February 10th. Is there a tour scheduled yet for that?
To be honest with y'all, this is the first time I have zero shows on the books this whole year. And I think I know why now. Again, like, to go back to your question, I do believe everything is for a reason. I really do. So I think I know why no shows are booked, and it's just some changes me and my husband are going to make that may not make us available for touring. So I'm totally okay with it, and kind of seeing how touring is still suffering quite a bit anyway, it's very volatile right now. And it's just something that I don't think you need to be successful anymore. Like if you can grow online digitally, it might just even, I mean, like what, you're going to spend $1,000 on gas on a tour? Put that in
more than that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's like a mini tour. Like that's like a, we did a 10-day run. That's a 10-day run. Right. And so we spent $1,000 in gas, and imagine what you could do with $1,000. And not saying, I mean, we were very profitable that run, but that's because the way it was booked, the way we had it. And so that doesn't just happen though. When, I don't know, it's just very hard right now.
I think, You're doing it the smart way. When you're first releasing a debut album, the first two albums, maybe even closer to three albums, spend that money if you don't have the time, the effort, or even the band members. Now, do you have regular band members, or would you have to go out and hire them?
I hire them. I do hired guns all the time. Just so, I have a huge
number. More money on the table. You got to spend out of your own pocket.
You know, I was telling my booking agent, I was like, I can't do door splits anymore. Like, no. I can't even cover expenses, you know? So it's like, that's why it's so hard, because no venues are shelling out money after recovering from the pandemic. And I'm not playing for free or door split. It's just not going to happen. So I'm okay with not having dates on. I there's always a couple festivals I end up hitting up on the year anyway, but we're doing great with the pre-orders. I mean, what if you just took that money and put it into marketing, you know, like so we're doing that.
Yeah. Probably. So no, and you're doing it the right way. Just take that money, recycle it back in, watch those fans get bigger online. And then of course, take your Spotify numbers and all your other numbers and start pointing yourself in that direction where you should tour. And then hopefully you can get guarantees at the front door. And of course, as being a booking agent myself, it's hard because you want to get your artist, but you know your clients, your client, the artist, versus also your client, the promoter, venue owner. You got to make them each happy. And most of the time they're doing door splits because that's kind of fair. It's like, look, I'm not going to take any risk. Whatever she has. We're going to take X amount.
I don't do them anymore. I don't care if if they want me, they'll have to pay. There's just
So my question is then a door split.
Yeah, he doesn't know about
a door split would be different from like a guarantee. Like a guarantee is you're guaranteed as much money. Door split is get paid for who pays to come into the show. You get a portion of that, right?
But that's ridiculous because some of these places I've never toured in yet. Like it is a debut. I get it, but like I'm not gonna bring that many people. And so that's why
at least you know that.
There's nothing wrong with that saying, look, I'm probably not going to bring anyone through the front door. Why even go there?
It still doesn't matter to me. Like I know the places that do pay me and they pay me very well. So it's just like, why am I going to the West Coast where nobody knows me and no one wants to know me? I'm going to keep my book, my places that I like to play that train I keep that going.
You got three cities near you that are going to pay you very well, and you're going to build that market. Houston, Dallas, and Austin. So there you go.
And I'm from San Antonio.
Oh, you're in Texas? Okay, yeah. See, I'm in Oklahoma. Hell, if you guys play a show, maybe I'll be able to drive down to the Dallas area. You know, it's not too far from Oklahoma.
I love it. Do it, man. Do it. Yeah.
Right on. Well, this show's lasted way longer than it was supposed to, but you know what? You have very interesting story. You're interesting to talk to and things. I mean, I got the chills when you were talking. That doesn't happen very often, you know? And
what did I say? They gave you the chills.
Just the whole, the surgery and you know, just being scared of
spiders.
I'm either going to do this or I'm going to die. Yeah, spiders for sure.
No, bro, I'm telling you, like, this is why I'm going on interviews, because people don't know what my life was like for this, like what I've done to be able to do this. Like not just the transplant. It was like being a newlywed and with a guy that is in another band that is on tour. He can't even be there with you with your health crisis. Like you're you have this huge health insurance premiums you have to pay every single month. Like I saw the bill for my transplant, and it was $500,000 Like, just the transplant, not the medications, not anything else, like, not the care afterwards. I was hospitalized 4 times because I kept getting chronic infections. And I, like, literally, they all knew me. I entered into complicated patient sheet. Okay. Like, it was so much to the point where, like, die for something is really just about, like, how I was up. I regretted it. Like, I regretted the whole transplant. I was like, I did the wrong thing because I felt so sick afterwards. And I was like, I do not feel better. I have no muscle mass anymore. I am just skin and bones. I have constant pain. I have constant infections. I could die from these infections. I would get rushed to the hospital. They would keep me in there for like 4 to 5 days, bro. I'm just so sick of needles. And I literally
hospitals too, probably, huh?
Oh my God, dude, I probably treated a couple nurses pretty badly. I kind of regret it.
No, not you.
but you know what though?
Okay, let me tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
They left me in the room over a bedpan I was trying to pee on, and they just left the room, and I couldn't get up because I had connections all around me. So I'm like, why would you leave the room? She's like, oh, I just gotta answer a call real quick, I'll be back. Never came back ever. And I'm like, I
So you had to pee, and there was no one there.
Where was it? You didn't have a catheter, or
no?
Was it a? You had to drop a deuce. Is that why?
No, I just had to pee. I couldn't get up because I was so weak from the fever that I had, and they had already hooked me up to all the machines. And I was like, but I really have to pee. And it was in the ER still. Like, they hadn't admitted me yet into a room. They were trying to get a room for me. And so the nurses were super frazzled. And, like, the medical industry is, like, completely crap now. Like, there's been so many walkouts. Like, they have really shortages on nurses. And, I mean, they abuse those poor nurses, you know?
Unless you're doing COVID, I mean, God.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
There's a whole lot to say, you know, and this is not a healthcare system podcast, but
we are not in the healthcare industry.
Nor do I know enough about it, but, you know, there's lots, all I hear is lots of complaints about certain things, and we can all form our own opinions, and, you know, I don't know the ins and outs. Like earlier I said, it was kind of bullshit, but I don't know the ins and outs of why things are structured the way they are, and so yeah. I'm happy that you're here with us. I'm happy that you're able to perform and do music videos. I think your music sounds absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. I didn't know how long this was gonna go, but I'm free to keep talking, but y'all let me know. Just cut me off. I talk a lot. I know I do.
I think what we should do is maybe schedule you back on when your album comes out.
Yeah.
Maybe continue this conversation.
We'll do an album review song by
okay. Please yeah, do.
That would be
and,
awesome.
And if you like what Cody put on the press release, I'll go ahead and I don't know if he sent you the album bio, but I will definitely send that over if you guys want to. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, will you stay right there till after the outro song plays? Sure. I think it was fantastic having you on the show. So thank you, Zana, for joining
where can
us.
They- Zana, oh, yeah, where can they?
Go ahead.
What is going on with you? Zana, where can people find your music? Where can they connect? I know we live in a day and age where you can just punch it in, but please let us know where direct links to
your
music.
How about written down to say that too? And I didn't even read my notes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, it's all your fault, Sebastian. Okay, ZanaOfficial.com is where you can find me at ZanaOfficial for Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, like all the social platforms except Snapchat. Not on Snapchat. Not a Gen Z. I don't know. Maybe it's a millennial thing. I don't know. I'm a millennial. Okay, bye. Thank you.
I don't even get. I don't get how Snapchat works either.
I know, man. I'm like, what's the point? Like, it just goes away the next day.
We put stories on there, and like, but you know, it's so annoying. And I got to say this. Okay, when I go to Snapchat and look at the stories. And like every like 20 seconds is like a commercial. And I just want to finish watching this whatever story's on there. And it's so annoying that I barely even look at Snapchat. If I want to watch stories or something, I just go to TikTok or like YouTube has, you know, little short reels, I guess.
Yeah, also. It just reminds me as you're speaking. I don't know if you guys have seen this whole season of South Park where the ads become.
I love South Park, but I have not. I'm going to watch it right actually now.
What The ads become so intelligent that they basically evolve to just be like permeated in everything, and like articles and news pieces are now just advertisements in disguise. Like, it's the most relevant thing I've ever seen. So
I'm gonna go watch. Is that some new season of South Park?
Oh man, I don't know what season. It's like 2021. It's on HBO Max. They're all like all the seasons up to 23 are on there. So you should check it out.
I am. I love South Park, and I love Family Guy too. Okay,
he's lying. He's looking up at the air. He's lying.
I love South Park, and I love Family Guy. And I love Futurama. I love all those cartoons. I'm a big cartoon guy. I like SpongeBob too.
Rick and Morty. SpongeBob.
I love Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty's awesome. Yeah, yes. I meant Rick and Morty instead of Futurama.
You're a liar. You watch Barney 24/7 every time I come over to the house.
No, what's wrong with that, dude? I'm a millennial, bro.
Okay.
Right. No, stay out there after the song, guys. That's all the time we got. Thanks for watching. Peace out, rock on, and much love.
This is the Loud Spot outro by Nothing Short of Tragic.
Is this all talk with no action? No. Is this my thoughts with distraction? No. Is this what I bought that's in fashion? Or is this the Loud Spot with Sebastian? Yes. Does Nothing Short of Tragic have his back again? Yes. Does anything that's good really have to end? Yes. A pimp host has a pimp show. So to get more episodes, make an order. This is over.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.